face tomorrow, and we can face the day after that, and the day after that, and next week, and the following week, and the week after that, and next month, and the following month, and the month after that, and the next year, and the following year, and the year after that. And should you tarry, Lord Jesus, we'll face the next decade. Glory be to God. Because we keep our eyes on you. Keep our eyes on what you said. Praise the name of the Lord. Father, we thank you for that. We thank you for that. Hallelujah. Now, Father, as we proceed, I pray that every person under the sound of my voice will have open ears to hear and an open heart to receive your word. Hallelujah. Because we already know that word will never return void. Thank you, Father, for your anointing upon me. And I already know that without you, I can do nothing. So my confidence is in you. My faith is in you. I trust the Holy Spirit to lead me and to guide me, to speak through my mouth the living word of God. And Father, we'll be so careful to give you all the honor, all the glory, and all the praise. In Jesus' mighty name, somebody say amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, I'm just, this has just been like a chain. I'm just hooking on once again to where we pretty much left off last week. But I want to read to you. Let's go back to the book of Deuteronomy, the fifth chapter. Deuteronomy, the fifth chapter. Hallelujah. You know what? I want this church, I want the people of this church to be a focused people. Amen. And focused on the right thing. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Some folks so focused on the bad news that they hear on TV or other modes of communication that some of them can't even think straight. Can't even think straight. Confused. Don't know what to do. Got to stay focused. Amen. Let's read Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 32. This is where we were last week, and I want to read it again. And it says, "Therefore you shall be careful to do as the Lord your God has commanded you. You shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. You shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God has commanded you, that you may live, and that it may be well with you, and that you may prolong your days in the land which you shall possess." Hallelujah. Psalm 91 says, "With long life will he satisfy me and show me his salvation." Amen. Glory to God. But we're told not to turn aside, this is verse 32, we're told not to turn aside to the right hand or to the left. We've got to stay focused. We got to stay focused. Praise God. Now, just a real quick review. There are several things that I mentioned to you that causes us to lose focus. And the first one I mentioned to you was things going on in the world. Like I said earlier, you know, listening at the news. And I'm not against listening at the news, but you know what? You don't need pattern your life or conduct your life by what those folks say. You need to get in God's word. Amen. And you need to be selective about your news source too. So we don't want to get caught up with the things of the world. Because we just sang the song, because he lives, we can face tomorrow. Hallelujah. And of course, and that's, you know, that's a distraction. That is a distraction. And the second thing I covered with you is the fact that struggling financially and not having your needs met, and when you get in a situation like that, if you're not grounded in the Word of God, the devil have your mind spinning all over the place, trying to figure out ways to have your needs met. And what we need to do is do what God says, and he promised us that he would do just that. Isn't that right? Amen. I love what it says in the book of Psalms 37. Even in the days of famine, the righteous will be satisfied. I heard a minister say one time, and I'm just going to borrow this, but he says, God has not lost the recipe for manna. Hallelujah. And he's been known to even use ravens to feed folk. So we want to stay focused. Amen? Amen. Now, number three, this is a big distraction. This is a biggie. Marriage problems or family problems. There are ministers right now, pastors, all ministers, that's no longer in the ministry today because of marriage problems. That's right. Because of marriage problems. I'm here to tell you, whatever you may be dealing with in your marriage or in your family, God has the answer. I am convinced, and I believe you are too, that if both parties, that means the husband and the wife, would agree to cooperate with God and do what the Word of God says, there never, ever has to be a divorce. Now, hear how I said that. If both parties are willing. Matter of fact, I remember Kathy and I, when we first got married, we moved into a little mobile home that I rented in Goldsboro, North Carolina. It wasn't hitting no much, but to us it was like a castle, man, a mansion, because we just got married. And I took her away from home and took her to Goldsboro. And so I remember walking through the doors of this little mobile home that wasn't hidden on much. Matter of fact, one of the bedrooms you couldn't even go in because you might fall through and be under the trailer rather than in the trailer. I'm serious. It was just that bad. But we didn't stay in it that long. But here's the thing. I remember telling the Lord, I said, Lord, I just want, now you have to understand, I didn't know a whole lot then. But I remember telling the Lord, I said, Lord, I just want you to know that I'm not the head of my house. You are. So if my wife and I have a disagreement, we can't get it settled, we're going by what you said. And if I'm wrong, I will apologize. And if my wife is wrong, I hope she'll apologize. But I made up my mind, if I'm wrong, I'm just wrong. Do you know that's one of the biggest problems some folk have? They refuse to admit they're wrong. They refuse to admit that they've missed it. Amen. Oh, by the way, my wife do apologize when she misses it. I don't want to leave her hanging out there. You know, she does. Amen. But you know, that's the biggest issue. If you're wrong, say you're wrong. Yeah, but it might make me look bad. You already look bad. That's one of the signs of spiritual growth, when you can admit, I'm wrong. And we need to admit that we're wrong before God, 1 John 1:9. And we need to admit when we're wrong before each other. What Jesus says, leave your offering at the altar, your gift at the altar, and go get it right with your brother or sister. Go get it right. After all, none of us are nothing without Jesus Christ anyway. Listen to me. I would rather look bad than to be wrong. I would rather look bad and be right with God than to look good before man and be wrong and God's not pleased with the way I act or with what I've done. Come on, is there an amen or two I hear? One of the things that, and we know the world itself is full of pride. But one thing that we as believers must learn and learn quick to do is to put our pride under our feet. And say, I was wrong. I'm the pastor of this church, but you know what? If I miss it, I just miss it. I'm wrong. And you know what? If I miss it, you know what? I've got to apologize just like you do. Amen. Glory to God. Family problems is a big distraction, and that is the reason that the devil fights the family so hard. And it began in the Garden of Eden. God had a perfect situation, didn't he? He created himself a man, called him Adam, took a look at that man and says, you know, it's not good for him to be by himself. So I'm gonna give him a helpmeet. I'm gonna give him a helper. I'm gonna give him someone to walk by his side, someone to love him and be a companion to him. Oh, isn't God good? Yeah. Come on, husband, stand with me on this. Isn't God good? Yeah. I said, isn't God good? Yeah. Yeah, praise God, hallelujah. Matter of fact, the Bible say, he who findeth a wife, findeth a what? Amen. Well, I know this. Yeah, and obtain favor of the Lord. Yeah. Praise God. Yeah. Hey, you know that verse, don't you? Glory to God. Amen. Now, here's what I see. See in this church, you know, I think everybody's sitting beside their wives, that their wives are here, or if you're married, some of y'all are not married. If you want to pretend, you can go ahead and do that. But I want the husbands right now to just look at, wives, I want you to look them in the eye. Look your husband in the eye. And I want you to tell that woman, say, you are my good thing. And I want to tell you, look at me. You ain't looking. You my good thing. Glory to God. Amen. But you say, well, Pastor, that is silly. Well, I mean, what are you doing that for? I mean, aren't you supposed to be preaching? Let me tell you something. If I can save a marriage, if I can help bring peace in a relationship for the glory of God, amen. And hopefully this is not the case, but sometimes, and I say sometimes, husbands and wives can have a few words before they get to church. And then the Holy Spirit get on Pastor James, and then he start meddling in your business. Oh, glory. And guess what? It's only living proof of how much God loves us. Because sometimes he'll use somebody that don't know anything about your situation, but he'll use them and speak through them to let you know, I love you, and y'all get this right. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Y'all still here? But now let's get back to where I was. God loved Adam, and he gave him a wife. I know she was beautiful. I know she was beautiful. Amen. And by the way, let me say this. Not everybody, God, we are such diverse people. Not all of us see beauty the same way. But in God's eyes, all of us are beautiful. You hear me? In God's eyes, all of us are beautiful. And can I say something else? Can I say something else? Well, I'm going to say it anyhow. Husbands, there should be no other woman more beautiful than your wife. Well, Pastor, but you just don't understand. She need to do this and she did. No, you ain't listening. There is no other woman more beautiful than your wife. Wife, there is no other man more handsome than your husband. Come on, y'all, say amen to that. Amen. Well, you may say, Pastor, I disagree. Well, just pray and ask God to adjust your eyesight. You're out of focus. Glory to God. Because when those eyes start wandering somewhere else, you just lost focus. Glory be to God. Thank you. That's my amen corner right there. Glory to God. Now, let me get back to where I was a second time. God gave Adam a wife. And guess what happened? You know what happened, but everything was beautiful. Absolutely perfect. But the devil said, I'm going to do everything I can to mess this up. Guess what? He hadn't changed. Marriage has been under attack ever since Adam and Eve. Because marriage is of God. You hear me? Marriage is God's doing. That didn't come from the mind of man. That came from the mind of God. Amen. So the devil tries to destroy marriages, and he has destroyed many, many, many marriages. There are young folks, some of them still angry today because mom and dad didn't stay together. And they're angry. And some of those angry young people are in prison. Maybe they're not so young anymore, but they're in prison because they are angry. Let me tell you something. There's a reason for the family. First of all, God has a family. There's a reason for family. And there should be unity and love in the family. Let me read you something. Y'all don't mind me taking my time. I know I'm not going to keep you much longer, but I'm not trying to rush through this. What I want, brothers and sisters, what I want to do is give you the Word of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. All right. I'll come back to this verse. I want to go somewhere else first. Turn to the book of Ephesians chapter 5. And now I do want to say this while you're turning there. If you are divorced or been divorced, you know what? God still wants you to have a happy life. Hallelujah. Just because you're divorced, that's not the end of your life. You hear me? Now it's time to pray and seek God. This is one thing I tell folks, single folk, is for example, I use the ladies, but it applies to the males as well. If you want a good husband, first examine yourself and make sure that he's getting a good wife. Now, you hear people say all the time, I want God to bless me, and I want him to bless me with a good husband. I want him to bless all men. I want God to bless me with a good wife. I want a good wife. But you know what? It's unfair for you to get a good spouse and your spouse didn't get a good spouse. Mm-hmm. You hear me? But now, see that? Now that, it becomes selfish then. In other words, I want me a good man. I want me a good woman that's going to treat me right, that's going to be there for me. But then you're going to be mean to them? You're just going to have your way all the time? No. Let me tell you something. If you are believing God and you've been praying about a husband or about a wife, let me ask you to do this first. Examine yourself. Ask yourself, would I want a husband like me? Ask yourself, would I want a wife? In other words, if I was a man, let's say you're a woman, if I was a man, would you want a wife like you? Now, if your answer is no, then that means it's time for a change. Because the Word of God tells us what? Do unto others as we would have them do unto us. So if you want somebody that's going to be good to you, guess what? You need to be good to them. If you want somebody to love you, you need to love them. They deserve that. Hallelujah. Tell you what, when I get up here, we don't know if we're having a marriage session or single session. Or... Praise God. Now, I want to read a few verses to you. Now, let me tell you something. What I'm about to read is in the Bible, so you feel free to follow right along with me. Okay? What I'm about to read to you is in the Bible. And I'm going to begin at verse 22. Verse 22, I'm reading from the New King James Bible. Wives, submit to your own husbands. Ephesians 5, verse 22. Wives, submit to your own husbands as unto the Lord. I was doing a wedding one time, and I read this verse, and I happened to glance up at the bride, and the expression on her face was not one of joy. And I thought to myself, I think this marriage is in trouble already. Now, I didn't counsel the couple, but somebody else did. And so another minister did, but they went through counseling and all like that, but they asked me if I would do the vows for them. And I looked up and I thought, uh-oh, she don't like that. But hey, it's the Word of God. Yeah. Now, let me read on, though. Verse 22 say, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For see, sometimes we stop at verse 22. Woman, you got to submit to me. I'm the boss in this house. You do what I say, when I say it, and how I say it. You got that, woman? That's not what this is saying. That's not what this is saying. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Now, we're not stopping at verse 24. We're going on to verse 25. And I want to read that one right off the screen. So, husbands say, yes, Pastor.
Yes.
Husbands. Oh, y'all watching out there can say it too. Husbands, love your wives. How, Pastor? Just as Christ also loved the church and he gave himself for her. See, a real woman of God can be subject to someone who loves her. And he loves her so much that if it became necessary, just like Christ did, he would give his own life for his wife. Now, folks, that's love. Now, you know what? It's easy to submit someone like that, right? Because they love the Lord. And by the way, this is talking to believers. This is talking to people that's born again. Y'all still with me? I want to read verse 25 again. I'm not going to go any further than that. But this is important. See, I've been saved a long time, and I've heard people talk, and, you know, she won't submit to me and this, that, and the other. By the way, you know, if you beating her up and beating her over the head and chasing her out the house and all like that, she ain't going to submit to you. In other words, the husband is supposed to give the wife something to submit to. And someone who don't mind saying, honey, I love you. Honey, what can I do for you? Not what can you do for me, what can I do for you? Remember, Jesus Christ did for us first. And we, as husbands, are told to love our wives just like Jesus Christ loves his church. Is there any doubt that he loves his church? None whatsoever. He loves us. Amen. Praise God, praise God. All right. Y'all still here? Now, I want to say this, and I got to quit. Wow. Turn to Proverbs chapter 24. And again, we're talking about staying focused and not getting distracted. And I want to read Proverbs chapter 24 as soon as I get there. All righty. I'll just pick it up at verse 3. It says, through wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established. By knowledge the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. A wise man is strong. Yes, a man of knowledge increases strength. Now pay special attention to verse 6. For by wise counsel you will wage your own war. Let's just say the devil is coming against your marriage, trying to cause problem in your marriage. By By wise counsel, you will wage your own war. And look at part B, verse 6. And in a multitude of counselors, there is safety. Hallelujah. Now, I want to say this, and I'm going to close right here because we're about out of time. I want to close right here. If you're having problems in your marriage, like I said earlier, keep your eyes on God. Keep your eyes on His Word. And if you need to, find a spirit-filled counselor, somebody that loves the Lord and know the Word of God. You hear me? They know the Word of God, and they know how to apply the Word of God and receive counsel from them. It's okay to receive counsel as long as you're receiving the right kind of counsel. I don't go to just any counsel, which I don't, hadn't been to a counselor, I hadn't been to one. But if I needed to go to one, I'm not going to just go to any counselor. I'm going to one that saved, full of the Holy Spirit. One that knows how to pray. One that knows how to pray for me. That's who I would go to. Wise counselors. Please, if you're having some issues, don't just go to just anybody. Please help me in my marriage. Because you get all kind of information, bad information. I'm going to quit right there. Has this blessed you? Praise the name of the Lord. Father, we thank you. May we remain focused in our walk with you. Even if there's issues in our marriages, Father, I pray that we'll keep our eyes on you, our eyes on your word, and if necessary, seek out wise, Holy Ghost-filled, born-again counselors that can pray for us and minister to us in accordance with the Word of God. Hallelujah. Thank you so much, Father God. And Father God, I thank you for healing that's happening right now as a result of this message. I thank you for that. Hallelujah. I just sense in my spirit that some things have broken that's been a hindrance in some folks' marriage. I just sense in my spirit that some things have been broken and healing is taking place right now. And Father, we thank you for that, and we give you glory for that. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I want to speak to those that's live streaming.